but in the process of gaining victory over Satan, his heel would be bruised. Now, later scripture tells us what that means. It means that he would be pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities, and that by his wounds we would be healed. It means that he would give his life for us to redeem us. It was through the death of Christ that he destroyed the devil and delivered us from slavery to sin and death. Christ purchased and secured our redemption with his own blood. By his blood, he ransomed us for God and accomplished our redemption. Jesus gave his life as a ransom for many, namely for those who were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And that promise of redemption was first revealed in Scripture in Genesis 3:15. God promised it in verse 15, and he prefigured it in verse 21 by clothing Adam and Eve with garments of skin. In Scripture, God often confirms his promises by means of visible signs or symbols. Now, one example of that is the sign of the rainbow after the flood of Noah. God promised Noah that he would never again destroy the earth with a flood, and he confirmed his promise by means of a visible sign, the sign of the rainbow. God made a promise and then appended to it a visible sign to confirm it. The promise was symbolically sealed with a visible sign. And God did the same thing in the book of Genesis chapter 3. After promising to redeem sinners, he attached to that promise a visible sign or symbol that confirmed it. God promised to redeem Adam and Eve in verse 15, and then he clothed them with garments of skins to symbolize their redemption, verse 21. The divine covering of the guilty pair foreshadowed or prefigured the fulfillment of God's promise to redeem them. The promise was symbolically sealed with the visible sign of their clothing. Their clothing, the clothing of Adam and Eve, had a symbolic purpose and meaning and not simply a practical one. It symbolized their redemption. Now, in our culture today, we don't ordinarily attribute symbolic meaning to clothing unless we are thinking about uniforms. Doctors, nurses, and policemen wear uniforms by which we can identify them as such. And also, in the military, uniforms can symbolize different things such as office and rank. And so in our day, there are vestiges of the notion of symbolism attached to clothing, but in the ancient world, that notion was quite prominent. For example, in the ancient Near East, if a father were to disrobe his son, that would symbolize his disinheritance. You might remember that when the prodigal son returned home, the father said, "Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet," Luke 15:22. By clothing him that way, the father symbolized his reinstatement as a son. The prodigal son asked to be made a servant in his father's house, but the father did much more than that. He reinstated him as his son, granting him the full rights and privileges of sonship. And that status of sonship was symbolized by his clothing. And something quite similar to that is symbolized in the clothing of Adam and Eve in Genesis 3. By clothing them, God redemptively reinstated them into his family as his children. And as his children, they were heirs of an imperishable inheritance kept for them in heaven. The divine covering of Adam and Eve foreshadowed, it prefigured their promised redemption. And that's what I want to explain this morning. Now, to understand this teaching, we need to consider, first of all, the symbolism of Adam and Eve's nakedness and of their attempt to cover themselves after their fall into sin. Before their fall into sin, Adam and Eve were unclothed. Genesis 3:25 says that the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Now, that verse implies a causal link between nakedness and shame. The idea is that nakedness would ordinarily produce shame, but even though Adam and Eve were naked, they were not ashamed. And in Genesis chapter 3, we discover why they were not ashamed. They were not ashamed because they did not know that they were naked. They only became aware of that fact after they sinned. Genesis 3:7 says that when they ate the forbidden fruit, their eyes were opened and they knew that they were naked. Their guilt immediately registered in a sense of shameful nakedness. They realized that they were naked only after their sin. Their nakedness before the fall and their becoming aware of it immediately after the fall tells us something about the symbolic meaning of their being covered by God with garments of skin in verse 21. Before the fall, God supernaturally prevented them from seeing their nakedness because, metaphorically speaking, they were clothed in the likeness of God. God made them in his own image, after his own likeness. They were endowed with the image of God at the moment of their creation. And that image endowment included a moral nature like the moral nature of God. Adam and Eve were morally good and righteous and holy. But when they sinned against God, they were immediately stripped of that moral goodness, which left them unclothed, metaphorically speaking. By the fall, they were stripped of their moral likeness to God. They lost their original righteousness and holiness and were left naked in the sight of God and therefore exposed to his wrath and fury. And to cover their sin-induced shameful nakedness, hoping to escape God's judgment, they covered themselves. Genesis 3:7 says they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. They were trying to hide the evidence of their guilt in order to avoid the penalty of their sin, which was death. God warned that if they ate the forbidden fruit, they would surely die. Genesis 2:17. Death, in the ultimate sense of the term, was the curse sanction of the covenant of works. Now, as we noted last Sunday, God did not judge Adam and Eve according to strict justice. Had he done so, he would have consigned them right then and there to hell. But God had another plan for Adam and Eve, a plan to redeem them and to redeem some of their children, the elect. And in order to make room for the accomplishment of his plan of redemption in history, God delayed or postponed the execution of his final judgment against the wicked, both wicked angels and wicked men. God promised redemption in verse 15 through the messianic champion seed of the woman who would conquer the serpent. But in the process of destroying the devil, his heel would be bruised. And as we've already noted, the bruising of his heel refers to his sacrificial death by which he will make an atonement for sin. It's by the pouring out of his blood that he purchases and secures our redemption. Now, that idea is expressed metaphorically in the promise in verse 15, but then it's prefigured symbolically in the clothing of Adam and Eve in verse 21. Verse 21 of Genesis 3 says, "And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them." Now, there are three things that we need to note to understand the symbolism of this event. First of all, this represents a change in status from a state of sin to a state of salvation. Secondly, it represents the sacrificial death of Christ by which he atones for our sins. And third, it represents our conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. Now let's look at each one of those points in turn. First of all, the clothing of Adam and Eve symbolically represents their transition from a state of sin to a state of salvation. In the fall, they went from a state of innocence to a state of sin, but in verse 21, they go from a state of sin to a state of salvation. And that is symbolically represented by their change in clothing. Now remember, the clothing they received in verse 21 was not their first set of clothing. Their first set of clothing was made by their own hands. Genesis 3:7, they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. In verse 21, their man-made garments of fig leaves were removed and replaced with garments made without human hands. Their self-made clothing represented the state of sin into which they fell, but their new clothing, which was made by God and graciously given to them by God, represented the state of salvation into which God brought them by his redemptive grace. The divinely made clothing symbolized their new status as God's redeemed people. In this change of clothing, they put off their old identity as fallen covenant breakers and put on their new identity as redeemed through the promised covenant keeper, the new Adam, who will overcome the serpent. Symbolically speaking, they put off the old man and put on the new man. Genesis 3:21 is the background of Paul's teaching in Colossians 3, where Paul says, "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." Believers have put off the old self. Like removing an old garment, we have put off our fallen identity in Adam, the covenant breaker, just as Adam and Eve put off the man-made clothing. And we have put on the new self. We have put on our new identity in Christ, the new Adam, the covenant keeper, as God's redeemed people, just as Adam and Eve were clothed with new garments, which symbolized their transition from a state of sin to a state of salvation. With their new divinely made and given clothes, Adam and Eve were identified with God's new creation, his redeemed people, redeemed in the coming Savior, Jesus Christ. Now that's the first thing we need to note in order to understand the symbolism of their clothing. The second thing is this. The clothing of Adam and Eve represents the sacrificial death of Christ by which he made atonement for our sins. The garments, or tunics, it's the same term used for the priest tunics later in the book of Leviticus. Their garments, their tunics, were made of animal skins. Clothing made of an animal skin had to be procured through the death of an animal. A sacrificed animal provided the skins by which the sin-induced shameful nakedness of Adam and Eve was covered. God deprived an animal of its life so that his redeemed people might be covered. Now that symbolizes that the remedy for their sins would come only by means of a sacrificial death. The sacrificial death of the animal foreshadowed or prefigured the bruising of the heel of the messianic seed of the woman. Redemption was promised through the bruising of the woman's offspring in verse 15, and then it was prefigured through the slaying of the animal in verse 21. Atonement for sin could only be obtained by the death of a sacrifice offered on behalf of and in the place of sinners. God was teaching Adam and Eve that without the shedding of blood, there was no forgiveness of sin. The shedding of the blood of this sacrificed animal prefigured the shedding of Christ's blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Symbolically speaking, the victim that died in Genesis 3:21 bore the penalty of Adam and Eve's sins. Their sins were imputed, symbolically speaking, to that animal which died in their place to atone for their sins. And that atoning blood was the basis of their transition from a state of sin to a state of salvation. Now, of course, that animal's blood could not actually redeem them, but it pointed forward to, it foreshadowed, it prefigured the blood of the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. It pointed forward to the vicarious suffering and atoning death of the seed of the woman whose heel would be bruised for our redemption. Only at the cost of the bruising of his heel would he trample the head of the serpent and bring redemption to his people. The animal that died in Genesis 3:21 died a substitutionary death. It died in the place of, instead of, Adam and Eve. It bore the wrath of God, the judgment of God against sin for them. The animal's death was substitutionary and penal. It was the legal punishment for sin. The sacrificial victim carried their sins and received the penalty for their sins. Its life was given as a ransom for theirs. God accepted the life of that sacrifice as a substitute payment, a ransom, instead of their own life. Adam and Eve were redeemed from the curse of the covenant of works because the victim that died in their place bore that curse for them. Now again, we're speaking symbolically because the only sacrificial victim that truly does that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But what happened to the animal in Genesis 3:21 prefigured what would happen to Christ in the fullness of time. It prefigured the fulfillment of God's promise of redemption through the seed of the woman. Now that's the second thing we need to note in order to understand the symbolism of Adam and Eve being clothed with garments of skin. The third and final thing is this: Adam and Eve's clothing symbolically represents their conformity to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. By putting on these animal skins, they were, symbolically speaking, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and bearing his image and his likeness. They were bearing the image of the one who died in their place as their substitute. They were conformed to the image of the one who took away their sins. Conformity to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ is the end goal of our redemption. Paul says in Romans 8:29, "For those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." That is the end goal. That's the final point, the telos, the omega point of our redemption, God's plan of redemption. Now, in the form of a type and shadow, God gave Adam and Eve a foretaste of the end goal of their redemption. God not only revealed to them the means by which he would accomplish their redemption, the shed blood of an animal sacrifice, but God also revealed to them the final outcome of their redemption, being conformed to the image of the Redeemer, the victorious messianic seed of the woman who crushes the head of the serpent. Now, ultimately, what that means, what it means to be conformed to the image of the victorious Christ, is that the redeemed will share in his glorious victory, the glorious victory of the new Adam. In other words, they will be glorified with him at the end of the world. They will be fully and finally conformed to his glorious image as the one who was resurrected in glory and power and honor. Now, all of that is symbolized, it's contained, symbolically speaking, in a nutshell, in the clothing of Adam and Eve in Genesis 3:21.